Welcome to the Motivational Firewood Radio Show, hosted by keynote speaker, author, and vision board mastery creator, Steve Gamlin. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hey there, my friend, Steve Gamlin here. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Motivational Firewood Radio Show. Got a very cool guest today. Her name is Claudia Varias. Claudia is a speaker. She is a certified coach. She's done a whole bunch of things and lived in many parts of the world as well. Now, in comparison, if you flew a hot air balloon high enough, you could see the house I grew up in. So I haven't been that many places, but Claudia has, and it has influenced who she is, who is she becoming, and also the way she conducts her life and her business. So Claudia, welcome to the Motivational Firewood Radio Show.
Thank you, Steve. Let's do this. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now, where are you geographically right now? Where are you living right now?
My base currently is in Spain, mm-hmm. near Barcelona. However, currently, as we're having this conversation, I'm actually in Thailand. So I'm traveling through Thailand for 2 months right now.
Wow. And again, if you flew a hot air balloon high enough, you could still see the house I grew up in. Now, and I know you do love to travel. And you just love different cultures and experiences. What are some of your favorite places that you've been over the years? And what do you think has been the influence of all these different cultures and locations on who you are and what you do?
This is such a beautiful question, Steve. And I really love it. And just for context for the listeners as well, I've lived in 6 different countries and I've been traveling to more than that as well. So hence the question that Steve is also asking. And it's a difficult question to answer at the same time, because each and every place that I lived in specifically, so the 6 countries I lived in, they are all just so vastly different and they all shaped me in very different ways, right? So my experience in, for example, working in the events industry in a 5-star luxury hotel in Dubai, that experience was a very different experience than doing an exchange semester in Chile or going to study English in Australia or working in London, right? So each and every place is just so very different. And why I always say that these experiences shape me so much is because I get to learn how people see the world through their eyes in different cultures, right? Mm-hmm. So like how, you know, what's, for example, and I'm deeply curious about that, on like the perspectives that people have. So what perspectives do, for example, people in London have about work, about life, about purpose, right? What do people in living in Dubai have their perspectives on these aspects in Chile, right? In Spain, in Thailand. So it's something that really deeply inspires me, because I just love to learn like that. I'd rather learn about the world from the world by connecting with the world, right, in this way, because I just learned for myself. It just truly shapes me, because it's an experience and it's memories that last with me forever.
Oh, see, now I love that. Now you make me want to travel a little bit more.
Maybe I'll go beyond
the state that I live in, maybe. No, I've been to a few places, and I do love, you know, getting out there and I love people. I love when I'm, and I tell people, I said, look, I'm the same person on stage, off stage, backstage, standing on the street corner, or walking down the Captain Crunch aisle at the grocery store. So when I do travel, I love to just meet regular, everyday, cool people and have conversations and find out what inspires them and what they enjoy, what they do to relax, what they do for work. And a very important question is why they do what they do. So I know this has been something that changed your life. And for anybody who thinks that you've been doing what you're doing now all along, you started off with a very typical pursuit in the corporate world and all the trappings that come along with that. So first off, you want to just give a little background about what your initial path was or was going to be, and where you suddenly had a jolt, and I won't say woke up, because I don't want it to sound like you were sleeping through it, but what changed your mind about what you were doing? And of course, the big question, why?
Yes. So I was 8 years in the corporate world, and I was thriving, or striving rather, to become a director in the corporate world as fast as possible. So this was something that was my motivation without ever reflecting why this is something that I just worked so hard towards too, right? And that just shaped like every decision that I was doing in my early 20s in terms of like, you know, which job to take, working really, really hard, 70, 80 hours weeks on weekends, making sure to get promotions, you know, like everything that just entails to be well, in the corporate world, to get promoted, to move forward. And that worked in a sense that as 25, I became a manager of 14 people in a big American tech company. And I was just on track to actually reach that goal that I was putting for myself for so long, that I was working towards so hard and so much. Until, it's funny, reflecting back, I'm always like, wow, this is just insane that I went actually this path. I'm able to say this now without judging myself, but just to reflect back on like, wow, it's insane what we're doing to be recognized externally by society and by parents and by people, even though it's not something that we want to do. And so what has happened is like I was in a crossroads. I was like, okay, I need to do or I want to do something that will bring me closer to achieve my dream of becoming a director at 30. And hence I started to do a master's in data analytics. Now, maybe now that you know me a little bit, Steve, like maths and numbers and analytics was never like one of my favorite subjects in school, or I was not particularly always very good at it. However, I was looking at like, okay, where's the demand? You know, where do they pay well and how can I develop my skills? So this was the main driver. Where's the money? Where's the gap? And what can get me as fast as possible to where I want to get to in terms of the title, right? So when you listen to this already, you can see it's a lot of external things, title, status, money, you know, promotion, how I'm being seen, you know, where I'm at in the company, et cetera. And so I did that master's part-time, took a student loan, worked my butt off to make that happen while being a manager as well. And then I became a data analytics manager, working with executives, leading a global team. And so everything looked amazing on the outside. Everyone's like, damn, you're so young and you have this great career and you have a global team and blah, blah, blah. Everything was great. Oh, and every time I heard that, I was just like, is it? Like, why don't I feel anything? Like, I don't feel anything. You know, and that was the tipping point for me when I realized, okay, I'm actually in a deep hole, and I didn't realize that I was until that moment. And that was my 28th birthday, and we got into the habit of organizing something as a family together for my birthday, like an activity. I like adventures, and so I like to push people out of their comfort zone. And so what we've done is we're like 12 people, my parents, my closest cousins, my brother. And we got together and we did like a bike trip, like a 2-day bike trip. And we did over 100 kilometers a day. I'm not so sure how much this is in miles, but it's a lot for people that are not very sporty, right? And so then in the evening, we're sitting at this place at our bed and breakfast where we're staying, and we had dinner. And everyone, every single person that I love so deeply, that is so close to me, was there. I was healthy. We had a fantastic day spending outside. I had a great career. You know, I have a partner that is amazing. I have a dog. Like everything was just amazing. And I was just sitting there and I was really feeling like whether I'm here or not, I don't give a shit, you know? And there's just something about this moment. And I feel like there are these tiny moments that you can't really explain what really happens, but something happens. And this is then when I was like, why can't I just actually feel this joy? Why can't I even feel gratitude? Why can't I feel like happiness? And this is where I realized, okay, I think I have a problem here because it's one thing to feel something, even when you feel sad or angry or whatever it is, right? But it's a whole other thing if you don't think any, if don't feel anything anymore. That's a whole different spiral to be in already. And I know you've went through a lot in your life as well, Steve. So maybe you can relate to this as well. And this is then when I realized I went to the bathroom and I just bursted out into tears. And I realized that I've been like that for over a year and a half in that state, just like you said, sleeping through life. And I was actually sleepwalking completely numb through life. at that point, and my body was giving me all the signs. I was constantly tired. I was constantly sick when I, you know, when I was on holidays. There's just like constant stress, insomnia, not sleeping well. All of these things that now I know because, you know, I've certified these things and I know what this all means. But I was actually in a deep burnout that led to a depression phase, right, at some point. Now, it was not a heavy depression. It was what they would say my depression, where just like, you know, whether you're here or not, it doesn't matter. And this is then the point where I realized, okay, if I cannot experience gratitude or joy while in these moments that mean the most to me, then I really need to do something to change that, because life is actually all about these moments.
Yeah.
And so this was then the tipping point for me to start to actually seek for help, which was one of the hardest things for me to actually ever do, to ask for help, to ask for help, to share how I'm feeling, to share my struggles, and not always be like, you know, Claudia's always smiling. She's always a high energetic one. She's always happy. And I buried the part of me that was suffering. I buried it for too long. And then I realized, okay, let's get to work. Started working with therapy, started working with like somatic practices, coaching, all of these things. And it's been 3 years now and the most craziest journey, but I'm just so proud and happy where I am right now, because I'm allowing myself to experience all emotions. Firstly, I'm able to be my authentic self. I do what I love. I impact people, and it just shaped me in very beautiful ways.
Yeah. And I love what you said that, and thank you for sharing your ages in the timeline here. I would never ask a lady how old she is.
It's okay.
How many birthday candles were on your cake? You already put that out.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. In going back, now I'm a generation ahead of you. I'm age 55. Mm. When we were teens in early 20s and going into college or higher education, we were basically told, get a good job with a good company, with good benefits and good pay, and basically put your head down for about 45 years and then retire with the benefits. And those are the golden years.
Yes.
So many people that I now work with who are my age or even a little bit older are waking up. And the pandemic contributed to this a lot. And this is a very good result of the pandemic. A lot of people, when they started to hear, oh, everything's going back to normal, all of a sudden the glaze came off their eyes and they said, oh my God, I don't want to go back to that.
100%. Yeah.
I've been on a treadmill with numb feet for 5 years, 10 years, 50, 30, 40 years. I don't want to go back to that. So a huge congratulations to you for waking up and realizing that at a younger age than most, it was important that you recognized you had nothing to be grateful for. And those moments were missing. You were just the machine going. And what I explained yesterday to somebody, I said, yeah, hustle, grind. You know what that is? It's like an old machine that keeps running with no maintenance. And it knocks and it wobbles. And one day you wake up and you go, oh, where the hell's that smoke coming from?
Yes.
About to expire. So,
well, thank you, Steve. And also, I remember like when we had our initial conversation where we got to know each other, it just inspired me because, you know, you were sharing your story and I could relate to your story and you could relate to my story, even though there's a generation between us, right? And also, I mean, having worked with over hundreds of clients in my coaching practice that are at different stages in their life with different cultures, with different backgrounds, fundamentally, going through these moments at the end, maybe it's just a human experience, right? And whether you experience this at 30 or 40 or 50, eventually there's going to be just a moment where you're going to be like, you know, what is actually life really about? And instead of judging yourself maybe for having that moment, seeing it like not that you were maybe sleeping and you're waking up now, but maybe that you're now being reborn, right? Like you're letting go of part of you and now you're bringing space for a new part of you. And this is so beautiful. And if you're okay with that, I'd like to share just a story that from a stranger that I met on the airplane flight, actually from Barcelona to Thailand, to Bangkok, that was just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and
please do.
So there was, okay, because this story just really inspired me. And I was sitting in the middle seat. It was 9B, and she was sitting on 9C by the window. And basically, I started to chat with her. It was an older lady. She looked super vital, super young. Like, she looked very energetic, magnetic. You know, there was something about her. Mm-hmm. And we started to chat. And turns out she was flying by herself to Sri Lanka to plant coral reefs to reestablish basically our ocean and nature. And she's doing this voluntarily, and she's going to spend 1 month in Sri Lanka, right? Okay, beautiful. So that's already amazing. Then turns out that she's 65. So at 65 year of age, she's traveling by herself for 1 month to Sri Lanka to dive every day 2 times to plant and corals, because that's her hobby, that's her passion. She wants to leave a footprint in the world. And then we talked even further, where she said that 7 years ago her husband died unexpectedly, and they were both divers, and they both enjoyed traveling. And that was for her the tipping moment where she's like, what am I actually not now gonna do with my life, right? She said that 20 years ago she had this moment like, I don't know what I want to do. What I'm doing is not my passion, and you know, kind of what we talked about now. And then there was this another phase where her husband died, which is obviously I cannot imagine even what pain this must be. She went through her own grief and healing journey, and she basically took that and she's like, I'm just gonna double down on the things that I love and who I truly am authentically. And so she said, I'm gonna allow myself at age 55 plus to do what I want to do the most and be a new version of myself, and also through that honoring my husband. You know, and so I don't know this lady's name. I don't know, you know, where she's actually even from, because this is the conversation we had, which was on a very deep level. But it just really inspired me that I wanted to bring forward, because we just don't know what life will bring. But if you allow yourself to just experience different phases and different identities of yourself throughout your life, and allowing yourself to really do that, then I really think that there is another side of magic of life that we can all
Yeah.
experience.
Oh my gosh. See, 100%. And one of the questions that my wife Tina asks me all the time, whenever we, go somewhere, even if it's to the grocery store, or if we're on a flight to go somewhere, or sitting in an airport waiting between flights, she always asks, "How can you just talk to anybody?" And I said, I mean, as a speaker and as a coach, in what you just said, I'm sitting here nodding my head and smiling the whole time because I have these exact same conversations with people. And that's why sometimes people say, "Hey, Steve, how do you make up those stories you share on stage?" And I just look at them and I tilt my head like a puppy. What? We meet the coolest people because we, you and I, and people like us, we've taken the blinders off. And we're on a swivel, and our senses are so heightened now. What we see, hear, feel, taste, touch, everything is at another level. And now we are plugging in and recognizing these other, like our antennae are up. And I find I am just having the most amazing conversations. I've got a buddy of mine who's a bodybuilder, a competitive bodybuilder. And a few years ago, he won the gold in his category at this particular event. And about 40 days later, some part of his body that's very, very important stopped working. And he was exhausted all the time. He gained 45 pounds, lost all of his muscle mass. His thyroid is what it was. And he got addicted to cocaine. And one day he put a gun in his mouth. That's how low it got for him. And I didn't know this about him until very recently. I've known him for about a year and a half. And he called me the other day. He says, "Steve, I get to go," because he's now in recovery. He's found his faith and all of this. He got to speak at a recovery center yesterday in front of 60 people who are actively recovering from drugs and alcohol. And he said, "I have no idea what to even say on stage." So yesterday we got on a Zoom call. He was sitting in the chair at his barber shop. He's on Zoom on his phone. Now I'm coaching him through speaking, which he was doing an hour later on stage. He sent me a message last night with the video from it, and he said, "Bro, let me just tell you what our conversation did. I got up and I opened with this one line that you shared, and everybody was glued to me right away, and I got their authenticity and vulnerability." And he goes, "By the way, my barber thinks you're a kick-ass motivational speaker." You're just listening in the
Is
background. So
incredible.
we just keep talking with people in accepting and understanding that we're constantly learning ourselves.
And Steve, wow, this is one of the stories that will stick with me as well. So thank you for sharing. It's so powerful. And this is actually it. Like, and to all the countries that I lived in and visited, The single biggest thing that stays with me and the lessons I take away are exactly these stories from what people went through, right? And this is what I then realized that I'm also sharing in my TEDx talk, is that the moment when I realized that I'm really just sleepwalking through life and not feeling anything, these were also the moments where I really pulled away from connection, where I pulled away from connecting with others, you know? And this is what happens when we're just so stuck in or disconnected to ourselves of what we actually need, like what our body need, holding ourselves through emotions, what our like inner child needs, like all of these deep things. And we just seek all of this externally. We at some point just make it all about us from an ego perspective. And we just forget the most fundamental and powerful healing journey, which is actually to connect to others. And this is like, and I'm sharing this and I'm getting very, very passionate about that, because I believe that right now there are studies and research that show this as well, that we're in a loneliness epidemic right now. Like there's 50 or 60% of people feel lonely right now. And that is sad. At the same time, I also want to encourage people that are listening also reflect on themselves and hold the mirror up and be honest with themselves of like, okay, have you also been actually reaching out to people, right? Have you also actually, you know, trying to connect with people? Because often what happens, and that happened to me, I let myself fall into the victim mentality of like, oh, no one likes me, no one reaches out for me, no one cares about me, or I'm so poor. But then I didn't bother to lift my finger as well and actually call a friend or have a conversation with a random stranger in the airport. You know, I was too absorbed in my own victim mentality. And so this is just, I want to encourage people that, you know, people like Steve, who is extremely good in with people and talking and speaking, like you are not necessarily born like that. It's also a skill that you've developed, right?
Yeah.
Over time.
Oh, big time,
so skill,
believe me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's the same for me, because people think it's like, oh, Claudia, you're so courageous. You're like so open-minded. Whatever, you speak so well, whatever it is, you have such a high energy. I was not born like that, right? Like all of these things are just things that you get to learn if you're willing to do the deep inner work that it takes, right? And to not underestimate the power of connection, because sometimes it's just really this one conversation with a stranger, like you had in your example, that can not only impact this person's life but also your life, right?
Yeah.
Through that connection. And so this is just the power of connecting.
Earlier this week, I was invited on 24 hours notice to speak at an event.
Yes.
Because the speaker who was scheduled for that time slot was 2,000 miles away with food poisoning and could not get on a plane to come in and speak for the event. So the organizer reached out to me and said, Steve, could you be my hero? And I started laughing. I go, what's going on? She goes, we have an event tomorrow. It's about 65 miles from your house. Are you available to come in and speak for an hour on visualization and vision boards and help our people to understand their entrepreneurs in the wedding and events industry? You were in that industry for almost 30 years, owning a DJ company. Are you available, please?
Mm.
And I said, yeah. So there I was a day later driving out to this thing. And I stopped for gas and a couple of snacks on the way at this gas station. And they were playing a really great classic rock song. So when I got to the counter, I said, ma'am, I don't know if you were in charge of the music today, but great job. I said, I was on classic rock radio for years. This is one of my favorite songs. And she looked up and she says, well, what radio station? And I said the name of the radio station. And she goes, I listened to that my whole life. What years? And I said, well, as part of this morning show from 1995 to 98. She goes, which one were you? I said, Silent Steve, the producer. She goes, oh my God, I remember your name. Now she's got a smile from ear to ear.
Yeah.
We're sitting there just having this amazing, joyful conversation on my way to be joyful for a whole room full of people.
Mm.
And I'm so happy. See, there are no accidents. I was supposed to be there.
Yes.
That was supposed to happen, because I don't know how her day was going or how it was going to go after that. But I know that because of the energy we shared together, like the woman who was heading to dive to repair the coral reefs, I bet she will never forget you.
Yes. Oh, this is so beautiful. The power of connection. It's almost like there's just certain kind of things, Steve, that it's hard to explain. You know, like when you were talking about the story, I get goosebumps, right? And then, how do we actually get that? You know, like there is just something that through these stories we take away. And for example, when you talk about this, it makes me just realize now, okay, Say hi, be nice to the random people that you meet because you're impacting their day, you make them smile, and you are smiling as well, and you can also make a difference. And that is just that's the learning. That is a learning we spent like two weeks ago, 5 hours with a monk in a Buddhistic temple, and this was one of the core learnings, is to actually connect to others, right? And make an impact. And so it doesn't take a whole lot of science or like research or studying to just root back to the fundamentals of who we are as humans. And that is essentially be kind, connect to others, and first you also just connect to yourself. Allowing yourself to be human and a different version of yourself across your lifetime.
Yeah. And so many people hear what we're talking about and they go, oh, that's too woo-woo for me. Now, my response to that all the time is, and you may not get the term, but I'll explain it. I say, yeah, it is woo-woo for a lot of people, but it's 100% scientifically based at the cellular level of our bodies. And I get that most people can't understand that because it sounds too woo-woo for them. I said, that's why I refer to my style as blue collar woo, meaning like a contractor or a carpenter. I'll roll up my sleeves and I just start doing the work, and I can show you how to do the work so that all this stuff is happening automatically in the background. I'm going to explain it to you in a way that you can understand how to implement it. And I tell people, I said, look, are you on social media? You on Facebook? You get a bunch of friends? Yeah. I said, great. Tomorrow morning when you get up, get on your phone, get on social media, go into Messenger, identify a friend. Hit the little microphone and say, hey, it's me. I hope you have an awesome day today. How do I turn this off? Boom, boom, boom. Oh, there we go. Click. I said, I guarantee you're going to impact their day in a positive way. Now, you may feel silly doing it. It may feel really uncomfortable, but I've been doing this for years.
Yes.
And almost every single time that person will reach out to me, whether it's that day or a week later, and say, oh, how did you know I needed to hear your voice that day? And the funniest one was somebody who said, I know you love to laugh. And it was a male friend of mine. He goes, damn, you got a sexy ass voice at 5:30 in the morning. And I'm like, this made my day, and that was a year ago. And now I'm laughing again, thinking of it now. So connection. Oh my gosh. For those of you listening or watching right now, if you get nothing else out of what Claudia and I are talking about, connect with one human being today, or even an animal. Look into the eyes of an animal and talk to them like they're a little baby, like we all talk. Who's a good boy? You're a good boy. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I do that to people sometimes and they just start laughing. And I go, now tilt your head like a puppy, wondering what the hell I'm doing. And they tilt their head. And we're all laughing. It's connection. Yes. And now you get to do this as well on a TEDx stage, and you're connecting with whoever's in the room that day. But through the camera, because you and I know, look at the camera, because that is where somebody's eyeballs are. You'll be connecting with potentially millions of people around the world.
Yes. And that's real. Yes, that's real. And that's uncomfortable. Like, honestly, I mean, because you said this as well, Steve, right? People might think, okay, but it's uncomfortable to do that. It's uncomfortable to reach out. It's uncomfortable to maybe do the first step. And then people find themselves maybe even honestly finding excuses like, yeah, but I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert. That doesn't have anything to do with anything, right? Mm-hmm. It's like whether an extrovert or introvert, it's just around how you gain energy. Some people gain energy by being around people. Some people gain energy by being by themselves. And so hence some of the most influential motivational speakers, they say that they're introverts, right? And so I just wanted to say that out there. Yeah, you too, Steve.
Oh, there I you am. Go. Hardcore introvert,
interesting,
yes.
You see? Yeah. And so this is just very important. I always want to frame and mention that, because people's like, yeah, but I'm not so extroverted like you are, or whatever. That doesn't have anything to do with that. So get that excuse out of your way and just get back to reality, to your reality, and just do the thing that's uncomfortable. And because people think that, oh, but it's not so uncomfortable for you. But I'm like, even for this conversation, I was a little like nervous, right, to get around. It's uncomfortable to just show up, right, and have a conversation and open up. It was freaking uncomfortable to like apply for a TEDx and to be then on the stage. These things are uncomfortable. Even when I do my own podcast, it's uncomfortable to get there and start a conversation. But just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean that it's bad. It's actually the opposite, right? So just push through that uncomfort, know that you can make a difference, and just allow yourself to experience life for real.
And the way I explain it on stage and on podcasts and with my coaching clients is, A lot of people, they buy a house and they've got a bunch of land, but what they do is they build this very small picket fence to protect themselves. And every once in a while, they might look over the top of it and realize, I got all this other stuff, but I'm afraid to go out there. And I just suggest to people, once per day, do one thing a little farther than you've ever done it before. If you speak to one person today, tomorrow speak to two, or hold a door, or pay a compliment, or whatever. So every day you're pushing that fence out a little bit, and you're adding just one picket to the fence, just a little, a little, a little, a little, a little. And eventually, you're going to need more posts and more pickets and more posts and more pickets. And eventually, you've got this really cool, amazing backyard that you're comfortable walking and running around in and inviting people into. And maybe you cut the fence down so you can see more of the world because you're not as afraid of it anymore. It's all hardwiring these habits. You're actually changing yourself at a cellular level. And I've had people say, well, Steve, it's easy for you. You're so confident. I had a young lady recently had scheduled a Zoom call and she blew off the call. She didn't even show up. And the next day I reached out just to see if she was okay. And she goes, well, I'm really kind of embarrassed. I said, here's the link. Let's get on camera now. And she goes, great. Now I'm on camera telling you that you intimidate the hell out of me.
Oh,
I said, I'm about as threatening as a salad. What part of me intimidates you? And she said, your confidence. And I started laughing. I said, I'm not laughing at you, but I'm going to pull the curtain back here. I said, first off, I'm honored by that. So thank you. And I accept that. I said, second, my confidence can barely drive a car and it sure as hell can't buy a beer yet. And she went, huh? I said, 20 years ago, this was not the version of me that existed. I'd blown up my life, everything, physical health, mental stability and happiness and emotions. Financially, I quit my radio career and my first marriage fell apart, all at age 35. I said, all of this is what I've chosen to build since. And now this is the happiest, healthiest, most contented and connected and living, breathing, best version of me so far. And I'm just getting started.
Yes, there you go.
So, and then she's like, can we do our call now? She goes, I don't want to lose this. I'm like, I look at the clock. I go, yeah, why not? And we had a great conversation, and she's doing so well, and I'm so proud of her because I see her coming out of feeling so insignificant. And what are the things that you love most to work with the people that you coach? Maybe what are some of the challenges that come your way most often, and what do you love most about it?
Honestly, even reflecting to in the story that you shared, it's making people realize that they're just not alone in whatever they're going through in terms of emotions and in terms of thoughts, you know, because sometimes, you know, people think that, yeah, but something's wrong with me because I have this crazy saboteur or judgy voice that is judging everything that I do. And I'm just like, of course, I have the same, you know, probably after this conversation, I'll also be like, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or maybe I should have said it differently. And, you know, there will be this voice that will come up. That voice is part of our human nature, but it's just around learning how to not stay stuck in that voice, right? And this is like this whole, like the whole work that I do with clients is on a very like mind body level. So both like mindset, like thoughts are the language of the mind, and emotion set, because emotions are the language of the body, right? And so for me, it's really at the core of like making people understand that being human really means to be messy, and actually means to embrace all of your emotions, and it means to get to know yourself, like really get to know yourself and become emotional neutral in the thoughts that you experiences, the sensations that you're experiencing in your body, and regulating your nervous system through that to create safety for you, for yourself, because this is then when breakthroughs are happening. Because to the point that you've mentioned as well, and that we talked about connecting with others and like looking at, you know, up the fence a little bit, and then a little bit more, a little bit more, like once you do that, and you increase your emotional intelligence of understanding why actually you are apprehensive to do that, or what is triggering you, what you're scared of, and what emotions are coming up there, why regulating your nervous system, teaching it that it's safe for you to actually do the first step and that it's safe for you to get out there. Once you create that neutrality, then you also will realize that suddenly more people will come to you as well, right? So it's so fascinating, because when I started to do this work and when I started to like connect again with others, like now I'm at this point because I'm so in tune with myself. Like I literally, I like broke through my limiting beliefs and my energy, and I know how to regulate all of these things. And it's incredible, like people approach me now and start random conversations, right? It's all like what you focus on is what you expand, right? And where energy goes, no energy flows, energy goes, no energy goes, energy flows. So it's this way. And so it's exactly the same. Like the thing that you want from others, you first have to learn how to give it to yourself on all levels. And this is just the most, I believe, impactful work that anyone can do is to just understand your own needs and knowing how to meet those needs.
Oh, I love that. And something you said in there as well reminded me of one of my challenges for years, which is pronounced decades of my life, was the way we talk to ourselves and the way we talk about ourselves and how that contributes to our self-image. And that, along with the saboteur, I always call it the imposter voice, but oh my God, saboteur, that's a badass sounding name for it, 'cause it sounds cool, like a James Bond guy. But
Yeah, the saboteur.
those voices and that wiring, they are in there, and their job
Yes.
is to swing a sledgehammer at our kneecaps a lot, because
Yes.
they hold us back, they keep us down. So when you understand that, and when you look at yourself as a plus sign, not a minus sign, and then you start to have these other people attracted to you all of a sudden. And at first it can seem weird. I was at a business networking event, this is 15 years ago, and I was there and I was talking to a bunch of people and holding court and telling stories and laughing and joking. And I went off over to the wall just to catch my breath. And a woman came over and said, hi, can I just stand next to you for a few minutes? I thought, do you owe somebody money? And like, I'm going to be your bodyguard or something. And she laughs and she goes, I don't know anybody here. And I'm just feeling like I just want to leave. I said, well, hey, come on over. Let's just hang and talk. And she said, I just watch the way you are around people. And she goes, I just wanted to stand next to you for a while.
Yeah,
She
see,
had an
amazing.
incredible conversation, and I just made her laugh. And finally she goes, oh my gosh, I've been hugging the whole time. She goes, what do you do? And I looked at her and I went, this. This is literally what I do. I'm a speaker and a coach, and I have conversations like this. And
Yes.
she just had this huge smile. I said, so now you have a friend
Yeah.
at this event.
Yeah.
It's
Wow,
so
beautiful.
cool to
And
hear.
that's 15 years ago, Steve, you said. 15 years ago. And
Yeah.
that's still a story that sticks. And I'm sure she still remembers that as well.
Yeah.
So,
I hope she does.
yeah.
Now, Claudia, I want to respect your time. So for anyone listening to this saying, oh my gosh, I have got to reach out to this person. If I'm going to connect with one person today, it's going to be Claudia. How can people learn more about you or reach out and follow what you're doing and watch your TEDx talk video? And how can people learn more about you and stay connected with you?
Yes, thanks, Steve. That's so beautiful. I love to connect with people, really, and especially what people take away from this conversation, right? Because I really, we both are opening up. We're both quite vulnerable, and we want to be too motivational. And so, for anyone listening, if you feel like just sending a message of sharing a key takeaway or how this conversation landed with you, I would really, really, really appreciate it. And you can do that. So on Instagram, I'm quite active there, Claudia.Varias, your breakthrough coach, and or my website, claudiavirus.com. That's the two main ways that people can connect, and send me a message, and I'd love to connect with you too.
And I bet there's somebody out there in my listening audience who loves to go diving and just thought, oh my gosh, I can go help to rebuild coral reefs.
Yes, please
And there's somebody
go.
already reaching out to their buddies going, okay, dude, we're going diving to repair reefs. And that's
Oh,
just an awesome
yes.
thing, because people like that are so passionate about the ocean and the
Yes.
whole world that's there. And you just gave them an idea of how to create a plus sign
Yes.
out there in the world. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And it's a great trait of an amazing coach. So thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me and for opening up the space for this beautiful conversation.
My pleasure. It will not be the last, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, please, I'm open.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. For more information on how you can create a more vivid, focused future with the Vision Board Mastery Program, or to invite Steve to be part of your next event, please visit stevegamlin.com.